You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 18 October. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz from Sanlam, we'll be seeing an everything rally. Zach Callisto from Karoo on results. And when I'm curious about vehicle production, but also the expenses have been rocking a fair bit higher. And then Henry Biddlecombe from Anchor, talking Facebook. They're just constantly getting troubles. They're also got half the planet already on their services. Are they over as an investment case? Not that they're going to collapse, but maybe the best times are behind them. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Supreme Court slaps down Spur over tax deduction claims. This is an old case, but they did a 48 million rand contribution to the employee share trust. They claimed it was an expense and therefore deductible. SARS said no. Supreme Court said no. It's small in terms of rand, but it's big in terms of precedent. And from CNBC this morning, China GDP disappoints. Third quarter growth slows to 4.9%. Industrial production up 3.1%, but below 4.5% as expected. Morning markets, the US was green on Friday. S&P up 0.75%. NASDAQ up 2/3. Asia's mixed as Sydney trades up 0.2% and Tokyo down 0.33%. Commodities green overnight. We've got gold at 1,770, Brent 85.92, and palladium 2,075. Rand stronger at 14.65. Top 40 opening call looking for a red open, about 150 points down, 0.25%. That as Tencent trades off 1.1% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kuntz, portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, morning. As I was sort of prepping for this chat yesterday, going through the markets, it looked like an everything rally. Pretty much everything except gold was pointing upwards. And then Chinese GDP data came out this morning, disappointing at 4.9%. Is it an everything rally? Is China going to derail us? How are you reading this market?
Morning, Simon. No, I'm reading it in that I agree with you. It is a bit of an everything rally. I've been watching this soft commodity basket as well as the hards, you know, since the beginning of the year. And just speaking to clients as well involved in shipping business, involved of moving stuff around the world, you know, those costs have gone up sort of fourfold as well. So there really is, you know, you hear this talk about, I mean, inflation obviously coming to the fore now, and it's difficult to see how there can't be inflation coming pretty quickly if everything from the likes of, you know, wheat, maize, eggs, milk futures, for goodness sake, are all sort of up 40-odd% this year. And so I agree. I think this is we are at the start of a rally of everything, really.
And we had some U.S. inflation last week. We've got local inflation on Wednesday. The idea that it was going to be transitory, I really thought that by now we would be seeing some downward pressure on inflation if it was going to be transitory. But we're not, which suggests it is starting to get a little baked in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't stand that word transitory. You know, it suits the politicians, quite frankly, because what they don't want to see is, you know, the central banks are behind the curve and they have to come back and raise rates quite aggressively. But you can't have sticky inflation like we're seeing now. As you said, 4 or 5 months of the U.S. inflation print above 5%. I saw a number this morning out of New Zealand, their CPI print coming at the highest level in 13 years. So everywhere you look, there is definitely sticky inflation, and it's difficult to marry that up with interest rates in America, which are negative. Real yields in America are negative, yet inflation's at 5%. You know, so something's got to give at some point. And I think obviously we might be seeing even a rate rise as early as next month at the US.
As quick as that, but that will speak markets. One of the pieces of data last week, Social Security cost of living increase was the largest increase in 20 years. And of course, that's now baked into that system. It starts to become structural. I quickly want to touch on gold. Last year, when gold was doing what it's meant to do during a pandemic, gold should be rallying. It made new highs above 2000. People who'd never touched gold in decades, myself, I think yourself included, were, you know, long gold, it was the place to be. Has gold kind of gone off the radar now?
I think it's just very unloved. You know, it's as you said, it when it didn't display the sort of safe haven statuses that it should be doing, you know, it definitely is a little bit out of favor. And, you know, it's been like that for a while, Simon. It's whenever there's a little bit of a risk-off mood, you expect gold to get a bit of a bid. It just doesn't budge. And I think obviously very, very linked, of course, to the US dollar, as we know, and the little bit of a dollar strength coming through and higher yields is probably putting a brake on gold for now. But overall, I still think it is a space in a portfolio for gold, you know, even if it's just a hedge, you know, 5 or 10%, just to put in the background. Very difficult to time it, but I do think it'll come back in a favor at some point. And I must hesitate, I'd even throw silver into that basket as well.
Okay, some silver as well. Quick last question. You mentioned the dollar there. We're certainly seeing a bit of rand strength over the weekend. If this is an everything rally and commodities start moving, you know, higher or stay at these levels, that's more ZAR strength.
Definitely. And in fact, I think the rand's been behaving itself quite well, and also been guarded, I think, by Saab, who are absolute sort of legends in you know, certainly in the emerging market space, and I would actually say quite hawkish too. So I think they'll be one of the first ones to probably move with the interest rates as well. So yes, more dollar, more rand strength, basically on the cards coming forward.
Yeah, and I take that. I Saab are legends, as you say, and particularly in the EM space. Nick Kuntz, portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the time this morning. A question on our LinkedIn and Twitter polls, talking about an everything rally there. Pretty much everything was higher last week, except for gold. But can it continue, or will it fade just as quickly as it arrived? Have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Jenny now with Zach Callisto, CEO of Karoo. Results out, it's Q2 and H1, so second quarter and first half. They're obviously doing quarterly reporting now that they're NASDAQ listed. Total revenue up 20%, subscribers up 20%, a good set of numbers. Zach, appreciate your time this morning. As I was saying there, I mean, good numbers. Operating expenses up fairly significantly. You're essentially going into a fairly strong push into not just sales, but also R&D.
Good morning, Simon. So we're investing for the future, and in order to do that, we started this about 2 years ago, where we've started really allocating quite a lot of capital into R&D, and our platform has enhanced significantly over the last 2 years, and it will continue to do so. We'll continue to improve our platform in order to acquire more subscribers and to give a better quality service into the future, with a more comprehensive service as well.
And a fair bit of it is, I mean, we've chatted a number of times over the last year or so. It's that software as a service. I mean, you view yourselves not just as you've put a sort of a dumb device in a vehicle. This is smart devices. This is, I mean, it's big data in a sense. And there's a lot of R&D in that space, which you can do with that big data for your customers.
Well, as we get bigger, our data pool is getting larger, and most of the R&D spend is all about our platform and the data. It's very little got to do with the telematics devices. The telematics devices is really just a mechanism or an apparatus to collect raw data. The real value lies on the platform.
You're talking about the expansion. I mean, is it region specific, or is it Karoo sort of? I mean, as a global footprint. I mean, you've got Asia. You're in Europe. You're down here in South Africa, of course, some US exposure. Are you focusing on all regions equally, or are there some that you think perhaps offer better opportunity?
I think the real opportunity lies in Asia. Mm-hmm. The second biggest opportunity lies in Europe, and South Africa and the rest of Africa continues to be a large opportunity. clearly during COVID, it's been very difficult to operate. So we had to focus where we're strongest, which is clearly South Africa. We added about 900 jobs over the last year. And a lot of focus went into growing South Africa due to the restrictions in other geographies that we operate in. But we believe over the next few months, the markets will open up as different governments or different jurisdictions get more lenient on or learn how to deal with live with COVID. And I believe at that point in time, we will allocate a lot of capital to growth in those regions, which obviously have got a much bigger opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And your challenge there is, I imagine, just literally getting people into the onto the ground. I mean, you just can't get folks into some markets that you want to operate in.
Yes, the markets in most of these countries, you can't get work permits. People can't move in and out of these countries. So it's been very restrictive. And clearly, we do not have the footprint in any other country the same as we've got it in South Africa. And, you know, we've got a lot of European, Singaporean, South Africans that we need to get into these markets. And obviously, with the borders being closed, it doesn't help us.
Yeah. Vehicle manufacturing has been struggling on the production side. Chip shortages, we've seen that play out in the vehicle manufacturing. We've seen it play out in the PGM space, which goes into catalytic converters. Are you seeing any pressure from that? I mean, if there are less new vehicles hitting the roads, less devices, or is it a case of, you know, folks will put a device perhaps even into a second-hand, a previously owned vehicle?
And so clearly, if new car sales are down, it affects us. But we've still been able to grow with that headwind. So quite frankly, you know, with the market still huge, even if they didn't sell any new vehicles, because a lot of commercial customers, they've got existing fleets that are still, you know, they're still sitting with no, they're still not using our technology to be able to grow their businesses.
Yeah, I get you on that. And when it returns to normal, and every time I speak to someone in the vehicle industry, they always say 6 months, but they've been saying that now for close on a year. During the results presentation, yourself and colleagues, significant holders of the share, you're talking about in time, not necessarily anytime soon, perhaps selling down some of your stake to increase some liquidity in the company.
So quite a lot of shareholders, you know, complain to us that there's not enough liquidity in the business. I've certainly got no intention of losing control of the business. I'm hoping to leave the business to my children. And we will, you know, the intention is that we still control over 50%. But we don't need to own 77%, and we will sell down towards the 50%, but we'll do that over time and we'll do it responsibly. It's not going to be overnight where we're just going to go to the market and sell shares. It will be over time and it will be responsibly done.
Yeah, I hear you on that. You're not just going to drop a quarter of the company onto the market and wait for it to be purchased. You can a managed process in a sense. We'll leave it there. Zach Callister, CEO, Karoo Results. Appreciate the time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com. or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Henry Biddlecombe. He is, of course, Anchor Global Technology and a stand-in when I go off to the beach. Henry, appreciate your time this morning. Chatting Facebook, and I got you on to kind of unpack whether we should be perhaps more worried or less worried. Certainly, the news around Facebook, whenever it comes out these days, seems to be bad. We've got the whistleblower more recently, particularly that focusing around Instagram and the like. I mean, is there some cause for concern, or is it the concern perhaps that when you've got half the world on your platform, where do you go to next?
Morning, Simon. Yeah, I think, you know, it's sometimes stock prices are driven by near-term narrative, and that's what's happening with Facebook right now. Mm. I think the two primary issues acting on Facebook share price are, yes, the two former data scientists who've testified that Facebook prioritizes profits over the safety and well-being of children and national security. And the other issue is the statistics we're seeing suggest that Apple's new privacy measures are having a negative operational impact on the performance of Facebook's advertising business, at least on the iPhone.
Yeah, and that's where it's simply the ability to attract. On that first one and around Instagram, I mean, the one thing, I mean, I'm fairly sure that probably 50 years ago when TV came out and when computer games came out in the 80s, they were all bad for children. I mean, you know, what's good for children is probably, I don't know, climbing trees and eating dirt. Is Facebook being perhaps unfairly tarnished but just simply because of its size?
Look, I think so. The issues that are being cited have been issues with the media for decades already.
Yeah.
It's just that the nature and the format of media has changed, and Facebook right now is the tallest tree, so it's catching the most wind. You know, coldly speaking, do I think that this means Facebook's a poor or a bad business? No, I still think it's a great business. I think they've got the ability to deal with these issues. You know, they've now got a team of around 40,000 people who are trying to monitor and influence the quality of information on the platform. They're also trying to prevent a sort of harmful behavior on the parts of users and bad actors. So I think, you know, they'll get better at this. They'll have to comply with, I'm sure, some legislation that regulators will come out with. But, you know, I think that the business will survive probably.
And regulation, and usually in this sort of space, I mean, when you're as big as Facebook, you know, regulation is probably going to hurt and perhaps quite a chunk of it. But you can manage it. You can go and employ 40,000 people. You can lobby Congress and the like. At the end of the day, regulation is probably a good thing. And Facebook is probably saying as well, you know, we don't mind some regulation. Give us some guidelines in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, and at the end of the day, this is still the world's most efficient advertising business.
Yeah.
No other platform can target users like Facebook, man. And at the same time, you know, they're at a pretty critical juncture in terms of the e-commerce business. I think this might be the first quarter that they start to disclose the gross merchandise value that, you know, that they're processing through their platform for Facebook shops in partnership with Shopify. And just, if you compare it to Amazon's third-party marketplace business, we've done some rough math, which suggests that that side of the business could add around 50% to their market cap. So at this level, I'm actually very bullish on Facebook.
And I take your point on that. I mean, you know, there's lots we can disparage about them. At the end of the day, half the planet is on one of their properties. If I'm an advertiser, I'm on Facebook. I mean, it's just an absolute no-brainer. And my ability to target, and I know because I've used it as a product before, is absolutely unrivaled in the history of advertising.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a very popular narrative at the moment that Facebook is losing relevance. We don't see that. If you look at the app download statistics in any region, the Facebook suite, if you want to call it that, so WhatsApp, Instagram, and Facebook feature in the top 5 or the top 10 in almost every country. The recent Facebook outage, I think, demonstrated just how reliant people are on the Facebook suite. And the engagement statistics also suggest that, you know, it's still probably the most relevant advertising platform in the world. And it could be become one of the most relevant e-commerce platforms in the world.
So at the end of the day, if we wrap this up, I mean, yes, there's a lot of sort of noise and much of it bad sort of swirling around Facebook. But I take your point around that tallest tree. The reality is this is going to come and go from time to time. But as an investment case, there's still a strong case for holding Facebook. And if anything, this recent sell-off of $60 from 380 and change is opportunity.
Yes, and from a valuation perspective, I think it's looking very attractive. It's currently trading at around $320, maybe a little less.
Mm-hmm.
And my fair valuation range is between $500 and $750 for the stock. So I think there's material upside from here. And yet, once the narrative shifts and the news cycle turns positive, you know, the share can go up very quickly.
Yep, and the media find something else to hate on, and Facebook can carry on being Facebook. We'll leave it there. Henry Buttercombe, Anchor Global Tech Fund, very bullish on Facebook. That's it for today. A poll from Friday. We were chatting with Nessa Nair around Long for Life. Brian Joffe stepping down. They're mulling a buyout offer, although it hasn't yet been put to shareholders. Seemingly, it's not yet a firm one. It's talks about talks, I suppose. The question we asked you in our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles, was Long for Life a success for Joffe? Nessa pointed out that Bidvest/Bidcorp took 3 decades. Just over half of you said mixed. That's probably the basket I would fall into. A third of you said, nope, it was not a success at all. And then about 15% were absolutely, you thought it was a great second act from Brian Joffe. Remember, have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Kodora, Masekla, Nicole, Eleanor, a bunch of folks. And to you for listening and my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.